It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Some Wisconsin communities have recently decided to stop using AI-powered law enforcement cameras.
Dane County, Sturgeon Bay, Oshkosh, and Fitchburg are among the latest local governments to cut ties with Flock, a private surveillance company.
Flock cameras can read license plates and register car color, make and model, stickers, and other identifying features. That info is uploaded to a database that can be accessed by law enforcement and federal agencies nationwide.
Last year, at least 221 Wisconsin law enforcement agencies used Flock cameras, according to the Wisconsin Examiner.
Isaiah Holmes is a journalist with the Wisconsin Examiner. Isaiah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We've seen a weird reversal. It seems like Flock was going into more and more communities for a long time. Now we're starting to see Wisconsin communities stop their contracts with Flock. What do you see driving those decisions to reverse course in those communities?
Yeah, so one thing that is going on a lot is there is a lot of pushback from individual community members and organizing groups. Say in Milwaukee, you know, you have the Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. You have the Milwaukee Turners, the ACLU, Milwaukee for Palestine. All these different groups have kind of focused on not just Flock, but also the facial recognition concerns, which are different technologies. But oftentimes people come to those meetings, usually to the Fire and Police Commission, and they'll express a lot of different concerns about those things. And also the Milwaukee County Board meetings to try to get communication about the Milwaukee Sheriff. And then in other communities around the state, you know, what's interesting is that this isn't something like a big campaign or something where it's like a unified movement or something. It's a lot of individual community members, oftentimes unaffiliated with different organizations, who are coming out. And when they learn about Flock, they're just very uncomfortable with it. And then that trickles up into the elected bodies, common councils, and this sort of thing.
As you've been following this, and you've been following this for a good long time now, Isaiah, what are some of the most common concerns that you hear people bringing up at these police and fire meetings or county board meetings or what have you?
Mm-hmm. There's a couple different layers to it. For one, some people are very uncomfortable with the idea of someone actively feeling as though they're being actively watched and monitored in a perpetual kind of passive way that's kind of always going on. You know, it's one thing to kind of walk into a convenience store or something and know that, you know, there's a security camera there. It's another thing to be able to be driving on an open road from one end of the state to the other, or just in your community, and feeling like if someone wanted to, they could just track and just kind of recreate your journey, you know? So some of it involves that. Some of it involves concerns with the federal government and the current president right now, particularly when it comes to the use of the federal government, whether it's immigration enforcement or Homeland Security or the FBI, to kind of go after particular marginalized groups or even specific communities who may be perceived as enemies of the MAGA movement, basically, or of President Trump. There's also concerns now that are kind of valid now of individual officers or units of officers using these technologies in kind of abusive ways. So on an individual level, using it to track loved ones, girlfriends, that sort of thing, or using it to monitor protests. So it kind of spans the gamut, really.
And what have law enforcement agencies who are using these Flock cameras said in their defense when they're challenged at meetings like this?
Oftentimes, the law enforcement agencies are very quick to tote the successes that they've had or that they feel that they've had of solving different crimes. They often put the violent crimes at the forefront. So whether it's violent crime, homicide, solving homicide cases, or at least developing suspects or using it to make arrests, or tracking stolen vehicles, any number of those types of things. And it can kind of shift or vary depending on kind of what the public safety concerns or priorities of that community may be. You know, some communities deal with gun violence more. Some communities deal with specific cars or reckless driving or whatnot. So they're very quick to kind of point out and say this technology has been very helpful in kind of developing those cases and layered on top of other technologies. Like there was a recent arrest that was made involving in Wauwatosa, where Flock and drones were used together. And prior to the cases of officers kind of being formally charged with misusing Flock, some police chiefs, like the Milwaukee police chief, would kind of say, well, these things could theoretically be abused, but no one has, or, you know, that sort of thing. And they can't really say that anymore. So you do get a tone from some law enforcement agencies, like I just talked to the Green Bay police chief late last week, who are a bit more reflective about Flock, and they see it as a very useful tool while also understanding the privacy concerns of people, seeing those concerns as legitimate and not fanciful in any way, and trying to find, in their view, a balance to that.
Now, in Oshkosh, the Common Council rescinded their contract with Flock less than 24 hours after approving a one-year renewal. And they said in changing that vote that Flock had effectively misled them about what the cameras and the data collection systems were capable of. Is this something you've run into elsewhere? What do we know about the level of transparency from Flock and their communication with local law enforcement and local governments making these decisions?
One thing, and this happened in Verona as well, when they decided to kind of sever ties with Flock, there's an attitude amongst some of these elected bodies that while they may trust their police departments, they don't trust the company anymore and they don't trust the product. So with Oshkosh, what you had was a situation where the council was initially supportive of it, despite the various controversies that were going on. At this point, a couple of officers had been charged, and then they found out later that the company or a company representative had essentially misled them or kind of given them not accurate information about Flock's capabilities to kind of visualize someone's movements as a kind of heat map, you know, which gets at another question too of there is some disagreement when you talk to different law enforcement organizations about whether or not this is tracking. A lot of people feel like this is a form of tracking, perpetual tracking. I think a lot of elected bodies are kind of finding themselves wondering what are these technologies fully capable of doing, and also just not trusting the company anymore, even if they still trust their police department.
Isaiah, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Isaiah Holmes, a journalist with the Wisconsin Examiner who's been following community pushback against Flock cameras here in Wisconsin. Now for a closer look at these AI-powered law enforcement cameras and their impacts on public safety and privacy, we're joined by Alan Rubel, professor and former director of the Information School at UW-Madison. Alan, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
All right, now we've had various kind of cameras, right, on our streets for years. These Flock cameras are a little different. They're networked. They compile all this data. How do you see this being qualitatively different, a part of just maybe more of these cameras?
Yeah, I think that there's a few things that are particularly important. One is that, as you mentioned, they are networked and they are also digital, right? So the data from these cameras is not the traditional CCTV, which may be held on local storage devices. They're digitized. Those images collected from Flock cameras can be put into databases and combined with data from other sources, cameras from other companies, cameras that are owned and deployed by government actors. Moreover, they're taking place alongside several other important technological developments, including facial recognition technology, which has really concerned a lot of people, social media monitoring, and the ability to combine all of these different data sources using machine learning techniques that allow for very substantial inferences to happen using all of this different data. So yeah, cameras have been with us for a long, long time, but we're seeing lots of different surveillance technologies and practices combining with computational power that leads to something I think that is quite new.
And this is held in a lot of hands in some ways. There's the private company that's running this. There's my local municipal, say, police department or county sheriff's office, which may be communicating with other police departments, any of which may be communicating with federal authorities. This could be shared in a lot of ways that aren't immediately obvious, right?
Yeah, I think that's actually another really important component to this that adds to that milieu. You know, any individual community, it might make sense for them to agree to have Flock cameras or another company's cameras around the streets because they're thinking about crime in their community. But there's a kind of a collective action problem. There's, you know, hundreds, thousands of different communities and different cameras across the country combined with these other data sources. And each community is feeding into that. So there's this massive hole where this large database creates something new. So yes, it's held by lots of different actors and potentially accessed by anybody across that network.
And I hear in the protest we were just talking about, I was talking to Isaiah about a couple concerns about misuse. One is that individual, that police officer who allegedly in Milwaukee, for example, is using this to track not somebody involved with a crime, but somebody he's having a romantic dispute with. It seems like that's something that you could maybe have policies to make that less of a worry. How big a concern is that individual abuse for you?
It is a very big concern. And yes, there is always the possibility of having policy responses to those kinds of abuses. But for one, it's not obvious that all of the abuses are easily caught. The abuses happen and most policy responses are reactive, right? So harm is already done. And we know just any kind of technology that is used for control or surveillance or information collection is open for abuse. And we have to build that into the calculation as to whether these kind of technologies are justifiable at all.
Now, those are individual abuses. There's a wider, I think, more fundamental concern with how much do I want my government surveilling me? And that's what's coming up at a lot of these meetings right here.
Yeah, and I really, I listened to the discussion with Isaiah, and I think that really brought up several important points. I want to distinguish between a couple of types of concerns in that category that you just raised. One is, yeah, government actors, law enforcement, or other government agencies, it's not just law enforcement, it could be any government actor, using the power of the surveillance for unjustifiable reasons, right? That is important. But there's this other issue, like that people might be concerned about that from the standpoint of their own privacy, which is the way you sort of articulated it. But there's this other concern that I think is a little more abstract, but I think it's more important and a little bit hard to articulate. And that is that as these surveillance technologies and practices become more powerful, they allow for governments to act in fairly arbitrary ways. That may not affect you, it may not affect me, but it's going to affect somebody. It's very easy to conduct surveillance on any kind of behavior. There are very few Fourth Amendment protections, which we might get into, and there's just a lot of discretion. So using these surveillance technologies, as Isaiah mentioned earlier, on just straight up political activities, using them on, you know, relatively low stakes, do scare quotes offenses like minor immigration violations, right? That allows for a kind of arbitrary set of deployments of state power. And that's slightly different from the privacy issue.
Well, and the fact that this is through a private company, it seems like there's workarounds in some ways, things that you used to say, hey, we're going to need a warrant. We're going to need to go to a judge, an administrative judge in some cases, and get a warrant to do these things. Now you can do a lot of these things without a warrant.
Yeah, there's essentially no legal limitations on private organizations collecting information, consolidating information, analyzing information, developing products to sell to the government that do all these things and to have them be used for law enforcement purposes. So there's a longstanding legal doctrine, and I don't want to go too deep into Fourth Amendment law here, but this longstanding legal doctrine that starts with the Fourth Amendment that says that the government has to have probable cause to get a warrant, that people should be free from unreasonable, the person should be, person's houses, papers, and effects should be protected from unreasonable searches and seizures. And then in the late 60s and early 70s, this doctrine developed called the third party doctrine, which said that private actors, third parties, their data is not subject to the Fourth Amendment. That is, police can go to banks or phone companies or Flock and get data without a warrant. So that just opens up this possibility that facial recognition technology companies, Flock cameras, and others can do this kind of surveillance work and then sell their products to governments to conduct surveillance.
Now, late last year, we talked with Detective Daniel Coons of the Beaver Dam Police Department, who said the Flock cameras are increasingly vital for their public safety work. Here's a listen to someone he had to say.
But it's no different, essentially, than having 11 officers, at least at our agency, having 11 officers on these street corners running license plates. We obviously don't have the resource to do that. nor would we. But this allows us to capture those license plates, which are in public, and there's no expectation of privacy out in public when you're driving around your vehicle. Your license plate, by law, is required to be legible and visible to law enforcement or anybody.
Right. So these Flock cameras aren't in my bedroom. They're out on a public street where I have to publicly display this information. Maybe not such a concern?
No, I disagree for a couple of reasons. That's an important clip, and I think this is a really important perspective. And I have a couple of things that I want to add. One is that any surveillance technology is going to be useful for the law enforcement project, right? Wiretapping. The ability to actually, say, run imaging devices across walls, thermal imaging devices, whatever it happens to be, that will make a law enforcement job easier. But we do, in fact, have a Fourth Amendment, right? The job of the Fourth Amendment is to protect us against abuses. That's not to say that what the officer in Beaver Dam is saying is itself an abuse. No, but that's not good enough. That just the mere fact that it makes it easier or is a tool that is useful is not enough. Second, I think that, yes, while it's true that you don't have an expectation of privacy in one's license plate, there is a difference in, say, a random collection of a license plate versus pointed surveillance of certain people's license plates, right? It may not be a violation of my privacy to have my license plate read by a reader. However, it can be an abuse of power to train those license plate readers on political activities or on people you just don't like, right? So I think, you know, there's different ways that surveillance can be, that surveillance can happen, and it can be relatively innocuous and not impinge upon people's privacy, or it can be pointed and arbitrary. And that pointed and arbitrary is, I think, what's really at root the Fourth Amendment is about and what privacy protection should be about.
As we wrap up briefly, we're having these arguments one city at a time, one county at a time. Do you want to see states or even the federal government set some baselines or say, hey, here's where the Fourth Amendment should be balanced, and here's how we should and shouldn't use Flock?
No, absolutely. You know, I think the Fourth Amendment is, you know, a constitutional creature, and judges and courts will interpret it. I would like to see a greater emphasis on, you know, predication requirements, like what kinds of rationales we ought to have in place to protect against arbitrary uses and excessive surveillance, whether that's legislation, whether it is, you know, memorandums of understanding across states or municipalities about what data can be used, how it can be used, how it can be stored, that kind of thing. Yes, I think that there is a very important broader collective action issue here that really should be addressed more broadly.
Alan, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Alan Rubel is a professor at the Information School at UW-Madison. We also heard from journalist Isaiah Holmes with the Wisconsin Examiner. In a statement to WPR, the Flock company said, quote, "At Oshkosh, there was confusion about a map view in our license plate reader product that shows where a vehicle is detected by fixed cameras during Flock's 30-day retention period. It does not identify a driver, track a person, or create a pattern of life. And regarding Milwaukee, misuse of any law enforcement tool is unacceptable. This case is exactly why Flock builds our technology to include immutable, transparent audit trails so rare cases of potential abuse can be detected, investigated, and addressed."